top with Giordano. Two on one. Michael Backlund shoots. Scores!
Penning. Great move. Here is Penning. Shot. Scores!
Comes free to Shane. Locked by Lucic. Ran him over.
And he wins it back to Foley. Scores!
No way! Oh, my! No way!
Kurt Fiddler backhand.
Oh, my!
It is. Now we're waiting.
Slides it in front, scores! Jason
Chimura! Checked in by Matthews, here it is, scores!
5 minutes into overtime, in game five, and McDavid scores! Game winner, series winner, for Connor McDavid!
I have been a murder man for all my life, and I'll be a murder man.
Welcome back to the 2 Months Podcast presented by Pete's Concrete. I'm your host, Joshua Marshall. And what a great week it was for the McIntyre and Ruptash family, friends of our podcast. And we have the father of Ozzie McIntyre, Brody McIntyre, aka the closer. Great week last week for you guys. You know, how exciting was that? And welcome to the pod, closer. How's things going?
Was it going well, buddy? It was a big week for the family. Family was huddled around the TV, had the live stream going, seeing where my kid was going to end up. And it turned out to a pretty cool organization, right? Third in the league for fan base. So pretty cool organization to be part of. Pat Falloon back in the day, right?
Yep.
Lots of cool looking jersey too, right? And I found out Gonzaga University is right there too. So that should be pretty cool. Try to figure out a way to get down there and watch a hockey game and then go watch a basketball game. So that'll be very interesting. But yeah, it was pretty cool. Pretty stressful. You know, you're thinking as a dad, you're thinking, man, this is going to be where my kid could be living for the next, you know, X amount of years. So it was a little stressful, but yeah. Turned out fine. It was lots of fun at the end of the day and let my kid chase his dreams.
There we go. And the next 5 years will be really fun to watch, obviously. And we have Clay Vanderham back with us too. Vandy, how's it going?
Vandy is dandy. I too was glued in to the live feed of the YouTube WHL channel. Yeah, it was exciting. I was pumped for the boys, man. I mean, there were a lot of kids. My son goes to school with quite a few of them at Vimy, so he was kind of dialed in with it as well. One of his good buddies, Devin Pelche, got drafted too. I think he went to Wenatchee round three.
He's a good player.
Yeah. And I think he's a North Sierra kid too, but moved to Sherwood Park. But anyway, yeah, it was exciting. It was good. Congratulations to everybody, all the kids that got drafted, to Oz and Luke. And the easy part's done now, boys.
That's what I was reminded
at the beginning.
Yeah,
but I reminded him 8,000 times in the last few days. Right. Now it's buddy.
Yeah.
Now the fun and stress, the fun part, or the hard, obviously yeah. The hard work goes into this now. So, for these kids, you know, for some of the people that aren't, you know, that tuned into hockey and whatnot, but where's the next step for them? Obviously, they'll go to WHL rookie camps or development camps probably, but for the next year's hockey season, are they trying out for, are they going back to St. Albert's, or are they going back to the teams that they played on that previous year? What's the next step in the graduation process closer to this?
Well, most of them will end up, I should say most of them, but like the higher end of the draft will end up back in U18 hockey, wherever they're from.
Yeah.
So they'll probably, the goal would be U18 AAA. Some of them won't make that along the way, but I would suggest probably the first 2-3 rounds of kids will be, I don't want to say locks, but I would be shocked if they didn't play U18 AAA, wherever their organization is. But first they'll go to, some teams have like a spring camp. Some do not. And for like the first rounders, they'll probably second rounders, maybe two, I'm not sure. They'll go to camp, hang out for, you know, there'll be a weekend, Thursday through Sunday, and then they'll cut down to X amount of kids. And then they'll keep the 09 kids, their first couple rounds of picks would be my guess. And they'll hang out for a week, do some practices, stay with billet families, get into an exhibition game or two, and then they'll ship them home. And then they go back and play U18, go back to their tryouts, and they're off and running for the year.
There you go. Vandy, your thoughts on kind of what you saw in the live stream and the excitement from, you know, the you know, the Ruptash, the McIntyres, or some of the other kids you were talking about earlier?
Well, I mean, more of it, having known, you know, Brody and Rupp, I've known for my whole life, but watching their kids go through the, you know, I remember hearing about Ozzy and Luke. I mean, Luke was kind of playing Mill Woods and novice, and then you watch and you kind of follow their progression. And then you start seeing names like Ben Harvey, you know, guys that were on their hockey team playing on Brick or Caps or whatever it was. And you start seeing some of these kids, Jackson, Pisani, and you know, Cole Carter and these kids, and you're like, well, when you're watching them, you know how good they are. And then, you know, knowing that other, obviously, scouts see how good they are as well, you're like, yeah, these kids really are pretty good. But yeah, it's an exciting time. But, you know, like we said, the easy part is getting to this spot. The hard part is now you've got, I mean, you kind of get to a crossroads at this age, and correct me if I'm wrong, Brody, but I mean, you've got to put, not being a teenager on hold, I won't go that far, but they're on a path to where, you know, and I don't want to put pressure on the kids, but they're on a path to where the NHL is realistic, right?
Oh, it's, boy. It's a
realistic game. Well, you know what I mean? Like, it's, I you know what I mean? Like, you're on that path. Yeah.
That trajectory is the right
trajectory to you know, and they're, you said it, you know, chasing his dreams, and yep. It's exciting. It's, I don't have a kid in that realm, but I mean, living vicariously through you and Rupp and other families, it's awesome to be a part of, and I'm glad you're walking me into it and sharing your experiences with me, because it's cool, man. It is.
It is pretty cool. It's stressful too, though, boys.
Holy right, man. Right.
Yeah.
Hey, Colzer, Harvey there, is that the same one that was on the Brick tournament? I think his dad's a fireman or a firefighter.
Yeah. Yeah. Ben's okay. The kid and the dad's Mark, right? He's a heck of a player. He's a strong beast of a kid, can score, back checks like crazy, he's thick, right? He's a 200-foot player. He's an excellent hockey player and an awesome kid too.
Yeah.
And dad's parents are beauties too.
Yeah. I remember when you guys let me kind of sit with you guys during the Brick tournament there, and just how nice his father was. I just remember.
He's so nice.
So one of the nice fathers there, and obviously Fernando Pisani, and congratulations to his kid and all that. You're a great defenseman too, isn't he, Closer?
He's very good, yeah. Do you want to hear a funny story about Harv? He goes, at that Brick term, I have the picture of this. I'll send it to you guys after, because, man, is it hilarious. I'm talking to him, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, my God, look at my father-in-law. So I look over, and there's a booth where, you know, you can get those screenshot T-shirts and hoodies. You know, you put the logo down. But he was too cheap to buy the shirt, so he was this a grandpa. He's got his shirt off. He gave him the shirt he had on. He just standing there. That's just putting the logo on his current shirt.
That's awesome. We should hopefully in the future. I know things are probably still a bit busy and fresh, and there's a lot going on. But obviously, school, there's that. So maybe later in the summer, we can get these kids on. And
that'd be unreal. Yeah, that'd be unreal, man.
Yeah. So
I'll make it happen. I'll get them all on.
Yeah. They were on before during the World Junior run that we had here. Vandy's great idea. That was a pretty sweet pod back in the days that we don't want to remember during COVID times. But great to have these kids on at that age, and now they're drafted. So yeah. Well, I know there's been some questions for that, and we've been talking about it internally. So we look forward to getting those kids on when the opportunity arises here, and things get a little bit more easy. I know there's still important work to get done, especially some schoolwork and all that, but we will get there for sure.
When you hire a contractor, you want things to go smooth.
Smooth as a driveway poured by Pete's Concrete.
You want a solid guarantee.
Solid as a basement floor by Pete's Concrete.
You want Pete.
Pete's Concrete. For sidewalks, patios, your leaky basement, Pete lays his reputation down with every job, and he offers you finishes and colors you won't find anywhere else.
You want someone who proudly puts their name on the work they do.
Pete puts his name in concrete.
Pete's Concrete.
The This public service announcement is brought to you by our friends at CDN. Here's a crazy thought. Not all teamwear needs a team logo. Stand out in the crowd and rep your team colors with one of CDN's hockey hats. Listen, these hats are phenomenal. We just got ours a little while ago, and we've been wearing them nonstop. You know when you find a hat you love and you just can't take it off? Yep, that's how we feel with our CDN hat. Every time we wear it out, we get asked, "Where did you get that hat?" I know what you're thinking. How can I get one? Cue the details. Shop online 24/7 at www.wearecdn.ca and use the promo code 2MUTS for 15% off your order. Again, that's www.wearecdn.ca to get your new favorite hat and use the discount code 2MUTS at checkout for 15% off your order. Now back to the show.
Our NHL News and Notes segment is brought to you by Sheena Boychuk. Yes, you heard that last name right. That's Sheena Boychuk. As a licensed realtor, Sheena has you covered to buy and sell your home in this hot market. She also offers home consulting services to help you upgrade your living space. Check her website out at SheenaBoychuk.com and tell her the 2MUTS podcast sent you. Realty by Design, your design approach to real estate.
Coach Rupper here from 2MUTS. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. Now let's grab a knee. Have I got a deal for you? We have teamed up with Manscaped and we can save you some big time coin this upcoming NHL season. Guys, are your sticks and pucks getting hairy in the corners? And gals, is your goalie still using horsehair Coopers? Well, let's wake up! Use the code 2MUTS to save 20% plus free shipping on Manscaped products. Listen, we all love to score and we all want to win the cup. Why not do it on a fresh, clean, smooth sheet of ice? That way we all win. Manscaped is the only way to go. Again, the code is 2MUTS to save 20% plus free shipping on Manscaped products. Now let's bring it in. Manscaped on three. One, two, three.
Yeah, so let's move over to the NHL and some great playoff hockey. And let's start with our local theme here in the Edmonton Oilers and our Edmonton Oilers report sponsored by our friends at Shatified Salon and Barbershop. I don't know if you guys have your own barbers, but I got mine done not too long ago. I think Vandy was chirping me, "Do you get your haircut every day?" But I think you guys need to come go see Shoddy here. So maybe there is a time. But you guys probably got some local
barbers. Buddy, I don't have enough hair. I'm on my last leg. I've got probably 3 or 4 years, and then I'm just going to go Ruptash Wood.
You're going back. You're going like Mark Messier.
Yeah, it's legit. It's not even worth it. I could probably cut it myself.
You're not going to do the 30-day turkey run and put a bucket on your head for 30 days. But yeah, our great friends at Shatified, they're always taking care of the players and awesome. Taking care of us on the pod too. So, and are making our city look great as Nikita Zadorov took a little shot at our city here. So that was that was interesting coming with the heat. So on that one, but you know, obviously big news. It was actually funny. I was leaving work today and I was going downtown to head to a doctor's appointment, and right when the news came of Carson Soucy getting suspended, I was driving by the rink and he was walking across the street with Casey Dismiss and a trainer, and he got the news at that point. It was kind of funny. Right when it came on my Twitter, he was getting it too, and he kind of stopped in the crosswalk. So yeah, unfortunate news, I guess, for the Canuck fans, but not the greatest play that you would want to see, especially onto the best player in the National Hockey League, Connor McDavid. But we will get into the whole series first, and we'll kind of break down that play after. But where are we at right now, closer, with this series? I know you're not really panicked right now, and you know there are depth there, but where's your level of concern at right now?
My level of concern is focused solely on a guy by the name of Stuart Skinner. I think the Oilers have dominated the series from other than, you know, 5 minute bits and pieces. But for the most part, I feel like they've had the puck 75% of the time. And you listen on the radio and they're talking about how they don't have any hits. Like, how the hell could they have any hits? They have the puck the whole game.
Yeah.
But my level of concern is with Stuart Skinner. He's being outplayed by, again, in the playoffs, and being outplayed by a third-string goalie. You know, they outshot them 40-something to whatever it was, 16-17 yesterday, and they lost. So that's – and what do you do, right? If you put in Picard, well, what does that mean? That's the end of Stuart Skinner? I think they're kind of forced to go back to him, and that's a scary thought as well. That's my only concern, and it's a pretty darn big concern, is the goaltending being one at the other end of the ice.
Yeah, obviously, you know, you put in the group chat a video of Frank Cervalli talking about on his show, the Daily Faceoff. Not the biggest Frank fan, but I was driving a little earlier tonight. I just went to go see my mom, and on the way home, I heard Bob Stauffer and Frank doing their hit for an hour on 630 Ched. And actually, if you guys get a chance, if you haven't listened to it, go listen to the podcast version, especially the first half an hour, because Frank does I'm not the biggest fan, but the guy does a good job at the end of the day. So I have my differences with him in other ways, but he broke it down in Skinner's game. He actually is, under the salary cap era, the worst goaltender in the playoffs, history of the playoffs right now under the salary cap era. His save percentage is a .793 right now. So that's obviously not good in career in his playoffs right now. And out of goals above expected, he's actually given up 6 more goals than he's actually should have given up. So even it dives deeper into the numbers. Now, Vandy, I pose this question to you because Bob Stauffer was doing this on the fly. And I'm not trying to take a shot, but I guess I'm trying to take a shot because there's a little fun thing that gets put in our chat. But 7 head coaches, same goalie coach. I agree with Frank. Bob brought that up, brought Bob Stauffer, who works for the Edmonton Oilers. He said, it is interesting that you have seven different head coaches, same goalie coach. But, you know, as Frank said, he's like, if a plane crashes, it's not on one person, it's on multiple people. That was kind of maybe a weird analogy to bring up. But anyways, where are you at with, you know, maybe the goaltending coach, but the goaltending situation, or is your level of concern pretty high in this too?
Well,
because if the Oilers get good goaltending, they're up 3-0 in this series, right?
Like, if they have their average goaltending. Yeah. What concerns me is, you know, watching Skinner during the media scrum today, where, you know, he looked extremely defeated.
Oh, really?
You worry about a guy's mental state. Let's not forget, he's a local guy. So
24 years old, yeah.
And he's a local kid.
And Bob didn't like that he didn't do media. That was another thing.
A lot of guys didn't, right? I was listening to Frank, Kevin Karius this morning on 1440, and Speck was saying the same thing. So, now, I mean, as a player, you have a right not to talk to the media. I get that.
And the way it works, just to kind of give people, pull the curtain back a little, sorry to interrupt you there, Vandy.
All good, dude.
It wasn't all year in the press box for the Flames, but what it is the way it works is we obviously view the game, we watch the game, and then we text the PR guy who we want to see after the game. So we put in our request as media people. So obviously, from what I understood, all the Edmonton reporters and somewhat the Vancouver reporters put in a request to see Skinner. Skinner wasn't there. Now, Frank Cervalli talked about his, because he lives in Philadelphia. He actually been a few times during the Flyers playoff runs where a player played a bad game and didn't have a good game and said, I'm not doing media. He's in the trainer's room. And actually, Paul Holmgren or others pulled that guy out of that training room and said, no, you did play bad and you're going to answer that to the media. So that didn't happen. And that's obviously a couple of years ago. Paul Holmgren's not there no more in that role, but finish your thought, Dandy. Sorry.
I think, you know, I'll save what I put into our chat. I'll keep that internal, but I'm worried more about the mental state of Stuart Skinner and where he's at. You know, the confidence is at an all-time low. Let's see what he can do tomorrow night. We've seen him rebound with some great games. And if you're going to dissect it, and as every media or every hockey analyst has over the last day or so, is it's strictly technique, and he's missing assignments as a defenseman would or forward. He's missing assignments, and he's not getting to those areas to make that save. Perhaps reading and, you know, following the puck where, you know, that kind of thing. turnovers, you can't. I mean, they're tough. I mean, the full pass up the middle, you know, that's a simple play where either panicking and whatnot. But those are the situations, like Brody said, if we get those saves, we're probably up 2-1, if not 3-0.
Yeah.
But it's not where we're at. It's only 2-1, everybody. Like, you know,
yeah.
Let's calm down.
They're going to win like 6-1 tomorrow.
I could see it because we
talked about, we should be more concerned about our secondary scoring. Yes, our goalie, Skinner's in a little bit of a funk right now, but our secondary scoring, why are we 9 years into Nugent Hopkins, the first overall draft pick, and he still can't carry a line?
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
that's what he is, man. Right.
But
that's probably why he took a pay cut too. You know, his contract before the one he's on was $6 million, and you know, the data or whatever, the numbers show that, you know, yeah, he's a $5.2 million player, or whatever. It's just over $5 million. So I know it's a long-term deal, but you know, he did take a pay cut to keep that contract and stay here. But yeah,
no, I'm going to, you know, like I say, I'm concerned about Skinner's mental being and his, you know, where he's at confidence wise mentally as a goaltender. I'm positive that the professional athletes, he's going to rebound tomorrow and probably have a hell of a game.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to win. 6-1 would be fantastic, but let's.
And it is a close group. Like, I've been very fortunate to be at some of those practices and morning skates throughout this season, more this season than in the past. And, you know, you've been to those too, Vandy. I could see, and again, it's probably like this in every organization, but that there's a tightness between that group. And I've seen Jack Campbell being here. He's been here for a few weeks now, and he's also, like, he's talking to Skinner. So he's pulling for him too, right? Like, and Elliot Friedman did on his podcast, he's like, Jack Campbell would probably be an option. The reason why he wasn't an option is because of the contract he makes. So like, it's, he did play bad and then went down, played good, then played bad. But the last couple months in the American Hockey League, he played good. And no one could tell me, I know I get flack for this at times. I just want to credit the people that I listen to good takes from, is Archer Shelos played most of the year in American Hockey League. He honed his craft in the American Hockey League, just like Jack Campbell is. So why is it like it's a development league to get better and restore your game if you've lost confidence? So
is Campbell here?
He is here, and he's been here for 2 weeks now.
He's Black Ace.
He's a Black Ace. Yeah. So
could he play technically?
They could start him tomorrow if they want to. Yeah, they easily could start him tomorrow. And I'm not joking, guys. Like, he has looked completely different in that net, and I've watched him. I know it's on TV because when he was with the Leafs for so many years, and his last 2 years, part is obviously full year with the Oilers last year and started the year with this year, he looks bigger and he looks way more confident. Like, he looks really good. The one thing I loved in practice the other day, I was just blown away by this. Like, and it's not shocking to hear this about Corey Perry, but Corey Perry was just tipping pucks. Like, he had Stetcher and Broberg at the top just shooting pucks. And Campbell was just finished a drill at the other end, and he was probably doing that drill for 20 minutes. He came down to the end close to Zamboni. He looked over and he just raced over to Perry, said, "Hold on a second. I want to be a net. And while you're trying to tip those pucks, I want to be a net." And they did that drill for 15 minutes. And it was just Stetcher, Broberg, firing pucks. And he was just tipping. He was just in the zone. Like, I counted maybe only 3 goals ever went by him. And he was, and he was tipping them. Perry was tipping a lot of them. Like, he didn't miss a lot. So he looks good in my eyes. I don't know if that's going to be an option tomorrow. We obviously know what Chris Knob. I didn't
say no chance of that.
No,
he might not play tomorrow, and you might give him that full reset. But I'm like, in terms of, is Skinner starting tomorrow, guys, or is Pickard starting tomorrow? Where are you at?
You have to start Skinner.
Okay,
you have to.
Yeah.
Why do you say that, Clay?
Well, first the team. I mean, I know Pickard had a great year, and did exactly what you want a backup to do. But this is a different animal. This is playoffs, and you need all your guys going. And Skinner's going to want that net if he's a true, and he is. Not questioning his character or anything, but he's a professional, and he's going to want that net, and he's going to come in there. He's going to be focused. mentally, he'll be ready to go. And they're
getting goalied right now, and they cannot get goalied. They got to figure.
Right. Okay. So if he comes in tomorrow and the same thing as the first three games, then okay. Now we got to let's go back to the drawing board here. Maybe let's throw Soupy in for game five. But yeah. I don't suspect that'll happen. I think for a team perspective, I think you need Skinner's their guy in that room. Skinner's he's the guy. And they've all known that. They've accepted that when Campbell went down. And I think if you throw Picard in, you're telling the team that you really don't have confidence.
Yeah.
Whether you come out and say it or not, like, you can make up all the words.
He wasn't – he's as of yet. I didn't hear him today. I heard him last night. I haven't been a chance to listen to Knoblauch today. But, last night he didn't commit. He said emotions are high, and he did say, either we'll see Skinner again, either it's game four or game five. And I thought when he said maybe game four or game five, I thought maybe they're obviously leaning to starting Pickard and backing and
Skinner. Well, Brody, what do you think?
I think it's not good for podcasts, but I totally agree with you, Benny, in that he's your guy all year. You're showing like you're panicking if you're going to Picard or Pickard. Right. And I think also it would mess with Skinner so bad that once if you go to Picard, I can't even say his name. It's pretty tough to go back to Skinner later. And I think that's not an ideal situation.
But what if it's tougher to go to Picard in an elimination game if you're down 3-1 in the series going back to Vancouver? If you lose. Like
if you're down 3-1 and you lose and the same shots are just like they are, then you've got to go to
Yeah.
You can't play Skinner the next game, in my opinion.
And so your season
at some point you got to just be like, that's enough. But I don't think they're not there yet, right? They win tomorrow. Yeah. The Oilers can come out and play their best game in the series.
Mm-hmm.
That's happening tomorrow.
And Skinner hasn't been at the morning skate, so it'll be interesting to see if he's on the ice tomorrow morning.
So okay,
that'll be a telling sign if he's on the ice. It's normally been Pickard and Campbell on the ice. So,
what do you think, Bosco?
Just the way Knoblauch went, and I think if they're going to sit down and look at the numbers, and this is now a very heavily driven analytics organization now, and they talked about that tonight on Oilers Now, and I think they have no choice to look at the numbers. Not saying Frank Saravalli digging into the numbers and putting an article out on the Daily Faceoff, which was a good article and broke it down. I'm not saying the Oilers would just boom. That wouldn't be news to the Oilers this morning when that article's out. They would already have that data from before. I think if this series had a 2-day break in between, I think it would be much different because that gives them two off days for the goalie coach and that staff to kind of work with them. At the end of the day, hey, Jamie McLennan's a good friend of ours, and he talks glowingly about Dustin Schwartz as a goalie coach. So, and Jamie McLennan's been a goalie coach and obviously had a really good NHL career.
When times are bad, it's easy to point the finger to
correct
the goalie coach and go, "Wow, look, he's survived seven head coaches." And
the only thing,
the reason why he didn't get fired the previous six,
yeah,
100%.
It's interesting though that he is down early, but obviously that's a good goal scorer on the other end too, and obviously in Brett and Besser and whatnot of making that an opportunity for him to go down early and to sell the shot, and then Skinner bites on it. So it's like maybe reading the play might be a little bit better, but to disagree.
So here's a question for you guys.
Go ahead.
What do you think the Oilers are going to do? Like, what do we think is going to actually happen?
I think Pickard starts, and I think regardless if they win or lose, they go back to Skinner for game five. I think Pickard starts tomorrow night, whether they lose or win. Maybe if it's a crazy performance. The thing is, at the end of the day, the Canucks and Vander Kane said it. He's like, they've been doing it all playoffs. They've been winning games with less than 20 shots. They figured out a way to art that, like master that. And it was the theme in the Predator series. Now it's a theme in this series. So the one thing I don't understand is, and obviously you can see the frustration on Tockett's face, is like as soon as the third period hits, the Canucks are up and they're just full in, like, we're going to let you defend mode. And now I know the shots were 15-2 in the third period last night, but the high danger chances were 1-1. So, the Oilers had one high danger chance.
What's a high danger chance?
So, it's pretty much like in the zone, in the red, and down below. Okay.
Inside the dots.
Yeah, inside the dots. Okay. Like, and that was towards the end of the game when McDavid's, when that puck kind of came down before the cross check happened. That was considered their like high danger chance. It was 1-1. So it was,
I find they play like a little bit different last game. I thought they're a little bit more aggressive, but they almost play like an old school, you know, when your kids are novice, you play a box PK.
Yeah.
And they just kind of have that centerman just kind of right on the edge of where the forward and the D are.
Protect the
and
house.
And they're just, yeah, you guys can skate all you want over here. We're not letting you inside of here.
Now the rest.
You're just standing at the dots and letting them, you're not coming in here.
Yeah. Before we get
so to yes, more. The Oilers have the puck all the time, but they're not really getting it. It's pretty rare they get an awesome scoring chance.
Yeah.
Close your thoughts on what the Oilers should do. You asked the question to me. I'll throw it over to you now and then go back over.
What I believe that they will do is they'll go back to Skinner because he's their guy.
Yeah. And you say the same, Andy?
Yeah. And if Skinner, you know,
is the leash very short on him, though? Like, is he pulled maybe before the first?
Yes.
Game? Yeah.
The leash is definitely
100%. 100%. And if that's the case, then I think game five, they go with Campbell.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that conversation's already happening with Campbell. Maybe they're like, you know what?
Well, like, Pickard's not, he's not a starter.
He's not, no.
So you've got a $5 million guy that has finished the year off very well in the AHL. Is obviously, you've mentioned it, he's working his ass off to get back in the lineup.
Yeah,
I think you go game five, go third string versus third string.
And I think that's a point. Like, he's down at the other end working with all the forwards, getting healthy scratched. And then, you know, like, one end of the ice is bag skating, healthy scratches, 15-minute drill, really no breaks. And then wants to go get a water, grabs a quick water, and sees, you know, a veteran who's not a healthy scratch. Game five, elimination game, Perry doing tips, and he just runs over and takes the net. Like, there's no one there. It's not like he moved the goalie out. But I think maybe I'm just grasping at straws here. He's a good guy, and you cheer for a good guy, too. And they're all good guys, right? Like, we're a players podcast, and, you know, like you talked about earlier, right? There's probably some pressure, you know? He's
100%. He's a local guy.
Yep.
And I think that weighs on him. Mm-hmm. The series will be 2-2 after tomorrow, so
I agree.
So what's the storyline tomorrow night? You know, is
first shift, Evander Kane better send a fucking message to Nikita Zadorov. Because Nikita Zadorov is the X factor right now in this series.
Okay.
He's Chris Pronger for some reason. I don't know how that's happened, but he's Chris Pronger.
Connor Garland is another one. Like,
because the way you looked at it, like, I think Ekholm thought that was an icing. I really do on that first shift. And so he got leveled by Lindholm. Then he got leveled by Joshua right after. And he eased up on the play thinking there was an icing. Either the arena was so loud, nobody communicated, or he didn't hear his goaltender or his other defenseman, or didn't hear the linesman. But that the tone was set right there. And then they showed to the Canucks bench, and Tokic just laughing before the puck even drops. Like, you know,
he's pretty chill, eh?
Yeah, like, he's just chill. And, like, you got Adam Foote and Sergei Gonchar and Mike Yeo. That's a great coaching staff. Not saying anything bad. I think you got a Hall of Famer on the other end and Paul Coffey. So, you know,
they got to figure out a way to get Knobloch not playing this guy's 29 minutes.
Like, oh, my God.
It's kind of like a catch 22. People, why don't we have any depth scoring? Like, well, they don't get on the ice for no step one. Well, why don't they get on the ace? Like, it's back and forth. Like, of course, why aren't they scoring? Of course they're not. They're not playing. How could they? Like, to me, Janmark, Ryan, Holloway were all excellent yesterday in playing. I don't know what they played. 6 minutes would be a guess.
Yeah, they didn't play a lot.
All three of those guys were excellent, which means they had in that, I don't know what it is, if somebody looks it up, 6, 7, 5, whatever it was, minutes, means they only had X amount of shifts, and I noticed them a lot in those X amount of shifts, right? I mean, like, they're good. They're doing well. I think Holloway is going to score tomorrow, to be honest, and I think he deserves 12, 13 minutes of ice, and I think guys like McLeod, like, is he even playing? Come on, man. Do something other than the power play. You got to do something.
Yeah, Warren Fogle under 9 minutes. Derek Ryan under 8 minutes.
Of course.
McLeod, 11 minutes. Janmark, only 6 minutes of ice time.
And he was very good yesterday.
Very noticeable. Very engaged, right? Like, he went back and forth with TJ Miller.
100%.
Right? So, and then,
yeah. How much did Holloway play?
Yeah.
11.
What, who
he played 11. He was really good.
Yeah, Holloway played 11, yeah.
So, here's what happens. So,
McLeod, you know, 11 minutes too, but McLeod, everything is a zero across his board
there. Yeah, he does nothing.
There's no hits. There's no blocks.
Right.
There's just nothing.
You're playing 29-97, 18 for, you know, let's say they get a minute and a half shift. Now you get a power play. Now those guys are going out there. They're dog tired.
Yep.
And now you're it's no wonder bad passes. You know, what's the first thing that goes when you get tired? It's your brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now that you're relying on instinct, you don't have that strength to make that cross-size pass or even that one-timer. And, I mean, you got to find a way to get – and who knows? I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't – I love coaches, but is he getting lost in the moment? You know, is he just reverting back, you know, where you panic and you just, oh, I got to play. We're chasing the game again. I got to play Leon and Connor and Hyman.
And how many coaches have been through? That's what they do when shit goes sideways.
Yeah. Right.
Next.
Well, the storyline is
like, you know, we, together.
When we dissect the Oilers season, we never question Leon or Connor, right? We don't question
Bruce.
We're not questioning Ekholm. We're definitely not questioning Hyman. Like, that's the five that are doing it. So it's the same thing after. It's Skinner didn't perform well and the depth didn't show up. So you guys talked about it. This is where Evander Kane shines. I believe Evander Kane will shine huge tomorrow night. You know, like he had.
You know what the answer is to Bosco and Clay? Is splitting up McDavid and Draisaitl. It's more opportunity for more guys to get more ice, dial them back a little bit. And now you've got two lines that at least can produce. Think how many times in the game that line was on, the big line, and it was just basically like a power play for a minute and a half. They'd go off the ice, and then it was nothing for two, 3 minutes. Had
3 minutes or 4 minutes to, you know, survive. Like, once those guys go off, talk it looks like he's like, the next 3 or 4 minutes, we just got to survive and get through, you know, and outperform the other guys. And then in 3-4 minutes, now you're on huge survival mode because the ice is on the other end because they're dictating the play. I agree. They got to separate them. I go back to Nuge, McDavid, and Hyman, and I go, you know, you got to go with Evander Kane with Leon Draisaitl. And is it Warren Fogle? You know, that was a bad gaffe yesterday. Like, I would maybe go Dylan Holloway, you know, put Dylan Holloway with Kane, with Draisaitl and Kane. So
they got to do something.
Yeah.
And I think the answer is splitting up McDavid and Draisaitl. You can throw them out together here and there after power or after penalty kill like they do. And, you know, after a TV timeout or something, but play them a separate line. So at least you have two scoring threats.
You need to get some 5-on-5 goals for sure.
Yep.
Where are you at with CC and Nurse right now, closer? Concerned, not concerned? Or are they just surviving? Do they, the urgency need to be a little bit more better there in that?
I don't think it's the urgency. I just think they need to see, I think CC's banged up or something because he's really struggled. And for the most part over the season, I've always said anyways, did anybody even notice CC tonight? Which in a positive way, right? Not in a negative at all. Where now you're noticing them because he's not quite able to make the plays that he used to. Nurse, I think, is reverting back to, you know, when he's playing his best, he's simple. When he's playing a little bit too aggressive, trying to beat one more guy, trying to make a pass that isn't quite there, is when he kind of struggles. And you're seeing that now, right? He's missing a few too many passes. You'd like to see him just, instead of making the 74-foot pass over there, just make the 6-foot pass to your buddy right in front of you. And just simplify, take a deep breath. And like Strudwick says, like, it's okay to go on the ice and come off and it be equal. Like, that's a good, just not everything has to be positive, right? Just come off. Okay. Yeah, we're good. That was just an even shift. We can build from there. You don't have to win every shift, I think is what he said.
Yeah. Daryl Sutter would talk about that a lot too.
100%.
Yeah. Bandy, your thoughts with the,
I mean, like, make no mistake about it. Vancouver's rolling with their third and fourth line are dominating, second, even their second line. And those are the minutes that in the regular season, you can kind of, you know, Ekholm and Bouchard will probably eat those minutes, but now we're in the playoffs and it's amped up that much more. And they're getting exposed in areas where they might not have gotten exposed in the regular season. Quick plays, quick ups, simple plays, like Brody just said. And they're just, it's just not going for them. And then you know, you think of The Replacements and Quicksand, that movie, The Replacements, talk about quicksand. The hard, the, you know, the harder you try to get out of it, I example, trying to make that 40-foot pass instead of the 10-footer, you know, it's just, it snowballs and everybody thinks, oh, well, they're professional. And yeah, they are, but they're also humans. So when you're under pressure, you revert to what, you know, you got away with or you get away with sometimes. And that's mentally, they just go back to what they, you know, they probably go back to when they were a kid and I can make that 40-foot pass or 40-foot exaggeration, but they just, oh, that's the easy play. Nah, sometimes the hardest play or the easiest play is the one that's in front of you, but they just, they'll be fine. They just got to get back to basics. I mean, they're getting, I question if CC's injured as well, because they're getting, like, Vancouver comes at you, Joshua, and that Connor Garland's turning into, like, remember the Flames Oilers back in the day? He's like, fucking that rat that just, every time he's got the puck, you just know he's going to create something, and he might get that one off his ass or off a defenseman's skate, and it's just like, fuck.
He's Vancouver's version of Victor Arvidsson, I guess he might want.
I would like to see from Darnell is, you know, what we saw Connor take at the last, you know, the suspensions and the fines. I want to see Nurse, because that's the kind of player he is. Go after a Lindholm, a Pettersson.
Yeah.
You know,
and Garland, skate by the pitch and tell him why.
Exactly.
Up until game two. The last before game two, the last five games Darnell Nurse played, he only had two hits in five games. So
that's not good enough.
How's that possible?
Yeah,
not good enough.
And then obviously game one, he had no hits. CeCe had no hits. Kulak had no hits, and Desharnais had no hits. Bouchard and Ekholm were the only defensemen that had hits.
I think Desharnais injured too.
That game to change too. Desharnais still might be hurt from that low bridge that Trevor Moore gave him. That might be an injury that's hindered him. We might find.
Hey, then get him out. Let's get Stetcher in. Like, no way. What the fuck
are we doing? Big man in.
I know, but like if they continue to struggle like this, because look at Joshua.
So we're now the theme. Now, what is Vancouver doing good? We've dissected the Oilers here. There's things they can do good. There's things that they're not doing so good.
They play like Tocchet.
Yeah.
They finish everywhere on the ice. They finish. Like, you dump a puck in, it's the 4-1000 rule. You know, you're not going to get it called. You got to be prepared to get a hit 4 seconds after you put that puck in play. And that's all. They're doing it all over. And they got the Joshuas, like, even Lindholm. He's a good player anyway. Pettersson, I see through a hit last night. You know, like, everybody's kind of buying in. Yeah, the Oilers are, you know,
Carlson shot him. Played pretty good making a debut and only played five regular
season. I mean, guys are stepping in. It's plug and play right now. And the Oilers.
Nils Olmon had a good play too. He just stepped in. Obviously, DiCeppe had to leave for personal reasons for the Canucks, but hopefully everything's good there. But
that's where our bottom six. Middle to bottom six have got to look in the mirror and go, okay, like, we're getting our show run by, like, Joshua is making a name for himself. And I mean, he's obviously a good player. He's in the NHL, but Connor Garland, like, if I'm Dylan Holloway, Ryan McLeod, I get it. They're not getting the ice time, but like, you got to be pissed off enough to where you go to coach and go, let me get us in. Because you guys need help.
Yeah,
and they need to, like, in my opinion, a few shifts in a row. Chip a puck in a corner, eat it, cycle the puck.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be a scoring chance. Just, like, finish some checks, man. Go low to high, get to the net, cross-check somebody on the way to the net, fucking retrieve the puck, battle, cycle it again, and get off the ice. Like, right. And that would be a wicked, like, that would be awesome. And they're not doing that.
No.
Maybe it's time to bring in Carrick or, you know, who else? I don't know. Carrick's probably a guy, I think.
Yeah, you trade a first-round pick to get him and Henrique. Now, I don't know. Like, I got posted something on Twitter yesterday. Now, Twitter, 25% of people have Twitter online. You're going to get people crazy, people going at you too. But, you know, a bunch of fans said his ankle's broken. I text people in the Oilers organization. They say there's no broken ankle, so there's no broken foot.
Who, Carrick?
Yeah, no, Henrique. So they said there's an injury, lower body injury. but there's no break.
Okay, then why isn't Carrick playing?
So he's playing over Derek Ryan because Derek Ryan wins your faceoffs, right? And
kills Carrick, penalties. And well, so does Carrick, but
Carrick kills penalties, but his faceoff is not that high. So that's kind of why he's in. Now, would you just healthy scratch Connor Brown and just put Carrick in on the wing? It's more size.
Connor Brown even playing? Like, oh my god, come on, man.
Yeah, I just
Look in the mirror, boys. Come on. Yeah. Like, let's get after it tomorrow.
And they will. Tomorrow's the day.
I think so.
Holloway is scoring, man. Holloway is scoring.
Okay, I'm betting it right now. Anytime goal
score. I'm surprised you haven't already.
Yeah, the Canucks looked like they're out for blood, and it looks like the Oilers are just playing game 47 of the regular season right now.
Very good point.
It's 29 and 9.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
It looks like
I kind of disagree.
It looks like the Canucks are playing for keep, and then I don't know. That's just my assessment. Like,
do you guys think you're skewed because the Oilers have the puck the whole time? And the Oilers have the puck.
I just think it goes back to like this first round matchup that the Oilers had these last couple of years, in my opinion. Like, besides maybe the first year, you know, they beat LA in 7. You had Jonathan Quick, who, you know, the reason why LA was probably in that series up till game 7. But, you know, like, I don't know. Like, there's really no desperation against LA. And then the Canucks were playing desperate hockey against the Preds. Like, the Preds kind of dictated a little bit of that series, but it was not easy. There was a couple comebacks that the Canucks had, but you know, they were fighting for their lives, and they had to fight for their lives even more when their third string goaltender went in net. So obviously you're going to play a little bit better, a little bit more tighter. Now, do you reverse?
Did you hear the story about him?
Yeah. I think Vandy talked a little bit of last roundtable pod, right? But where
about him, where he's living and what happened.
Yeah. He wanted the closed shutters or whatever to keep his.
Did you hear this, Clay?
No,
they gave him an apartment, apparently a team owned apartment, which is kind of just adjacent to the building. And he was, coach was talking about how low maintenance he is. He finally came to them. It was new. There was no blinds. So he finally went to him like, man, I'm getting up at like, you know, 5:30 in the morning when the sun comes. I think I could get some blinds.
That shirt too, that he wears too, is hilarious.
That is unbelievable.
I heard that JT Miller was wearing in practice.
Yeah.
That seems like a character, but yeah, he got MVP of the last Worlds, right? They got bronze. Last year got bronze, and he got MVP of the tournament. So last year when Luch and Toffoli won for Canada, but you know, he's holding his own right now. And how long does that last? You know, is that,
well, I think, and you talk about adversity, and adversity can come in obviously many different forms, but it helps when you go through it in the playoffs and you come out victorious during Nashville. Everybody pegged Nashville. They came in hot. Vancouver, you know, had to show up. Edmonton kind of had, you never want to say an easy time, but they kind of breezed through LA. Weren't really challenged.
No, they weren't.
Vancouver, you know, Demko and then DeSmith, and now they're going with third string. That adversity galvanizes a team, and now they, you know, all you got to do is give them a glimpse and a glimmer of hope that oh, fuck, we could do this. And now here they are. Okay, here's how we got to do it. Now the buy-in as a coach from Talkett, not that they didn't have it before, but that buy-in, that belief becomes even more. So if Talkett tells me, you got to go out there and hit 97 every chance you get, and they're going to do it.
Yeah.
So it's,
so right, Clay.
A lot to be said about that. And then, I mean, the Oilers, they'll figure it out. They're not – everybody on Twitter is going, oh, fuck, when the world's blown up. No, man, like they're talking about this. Here's what we got to do. Here's, you know, Connor and Leon are probably going, look, you got to play these guys. Get them out, get them going, give them a shift, start them, if that, you know what I mean? But they will probably be the first to admit that they're playing too much.
Connor was asked about it today. He just said, no, I'm fine. He's like, just
winning. Of course they are, yeah.
And I understand that. You're going to say that.
100%.
And the coach has
they'll be fine. It's going to be 2-2 Thursday. We're going game 5.
I like it. And I'm going to game 6.
There you go.
Perfect.
There you go.
The clincher.
The clincher. Yeah.
The close is going to the clincher.
That's right, yeah.
Before we move on to the other series, there's obviously a theme in some of these other series, so it could be a good transition, but it has been a focus of conversation in this series refereeing. Kelly Sutherland does not do good when he's doing the Canuck games, but Chris Rooney does do good when he does the Canuck games. So just like Steve Cazzari does not do good when he does Oilers games, the record with Steve Cazzari as a referee is not good. Again, probably doesn't mean anything. It's a moot point, but where are you at right now, Vandy, with the refereeing in the NHL playoffs? Is it a problem? Where are you at? Is it
okay? Yeah, I don't like, you can put your tinfoil hat on and talk about, you know, how gambling could be running all professional sports, that kind of thing. We can go deep into that, but I mean, look, at the end of the day, there are calls that, and I'll kind of stick up for the refs as well. I mean, they're under a lot of pressure when they do these games. You know, like they know that the minute they put that whistle to their mouth, that could impact a team's chances to move on, kind of thing. So it's, I mean, I question the Ekholm, you know, everybody, you know, JT Miller cross-checking Leon three times, no call. And then Ekholm, just his stick happens to break. It wasn't even he just was leaning on the guy and it broke and he gets cross-checking. And then, you know, Kane gets railroaded into the boards laughing because he drew a penalty. And then Perry gets like an unsportsmanlike or whatever he got when he even is that.
Oh, the bench liner, he just served it. But that, like, but shit that like was that, a weak, is that was fucking a weak call. Like that, like Zadora putting Kane in the bench, it's not a penalty. Like, there's,
I didn't think so either.
Yeah, it's never been a penalty. And I bet you what probably happened, it, like, we're not on the ice, but whoever called it a penalty, the other referee probably was like, you called what? He's like, and he probably would have said, he's like, we've never called that a penalty. So now the other ref had to make up a call and be like, okay, someone grabbed the stick, right? But you could see Perry, he's like pulling everyone back because I think he saw that they were getting a power play, and that's the Oilers' biggest nuclear weapon right now. Yeah. And the Canucks might be building off that because they killed a couple towards the end off the game. I don't know. It's like, you're not going to stop that power
play. I don't know.
It's the best power play he's ever seen in the history of hockey. And that's saying something because the star-studded talent that Rick Tocchet played with during his career and has won cups with and not. But, yeah.
I think it's normal. I think it's just another thing that the players have to fight through. And it's not like they're – well, I know I'm probably catch heat for this, but I don't think they're dictating how the game is played.
It's just not happening. You know,
I think it's insane that either side could say that the refing is terrible the other way.
It's just been
not very good all around, in my opinion.
Right. In the second round, it has not been good. The first round, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, 100%.
The concerning part, when you get to the second round and obviously the third round and the Stanley Cup final, those are the better refs. Usually, you know, there's 10 officials that got let go after round one was done. So, you know, they're home for the rest of the summer. You definitely got to figure this part out and see where it's at. I don't know. It is what it is, I guess. It always is somewhat of a topic of conversation, and it is in every series. And, you know, it really hasn't been.
It shouldn't be, man.
It should.
They're trying their best, and
they are.
For the most part, they do a really good job, and there's zero chance any of it is one side.
And I would agree.
It just isn't.
It's been pretty even for the most part in terms.
Yeah, of course.
Bad, right? One of the things that was talked about in Vancouver the other day was Rick Tocchet normally has never, even throughout his tenure in the Coyotes organization, and especially this year, he's never talked about refereeing. So before this series, he was very vocal on some of the things that he said. Obviously, after game three, he talked about the slew foots that Evander Kane had on Zadorov and he called him Huggy. It was Hughes. But, you know, so obviously it was.
They call him Huggy?
They call him Huggy. Yeah, it's his nickname. So I just thought, you know, it was interesting that he's not a coach that normally speaks about the refereeing, but he has had some conversations through media these last few days. But, you know, we'll see where it's at in terms there. I think it just, at the end of the day, it evens itself out throughout the whole season. There really hasn't, and we'll move over to this Dallas series. We'll finish off on that with the Oilers series here in the Canucks series. Very interesting. It's actually probably been the best series in round two, I would say. It's been really good hockey. you know, Dallas, Colorado, game four is right now, and Dallas is up 1-0. They are out shooting Colorado 18-2 in the game. And the second period had just started. So, obviously, yeah, 18-2, 18-3 now. Just looks like Miles Wood just got a shot on net. So, you know, first and foremost, yes, we're a players podcast. You know, news broke just before our podcast got started. Valerie Nichushkin, hell of a player, great hockey player. He's back in the players assistance program. So we're kind of thinking of him and hoping all the best for him. I know that's a tough situation. It's the third time he has now been in, and he'll be
suspended. It's the third time?
It's the third time, yeah. So he won't, now this third time he is in for 6 months without pay. The previous two times he was in for the 28 days and he did get paid. Now he will not get his salary. So he's in for a max 6 months, and then he has to appeal to get back in for to.
That doesn't mean he's in rehab for 6 months.
He's in the program for 6 months.
Yeah. So, okay.
From what I understand, when you're in that program, you are shut off from everything that's around your life, like your phone and all that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You're not allowed your cell phone. You don't see your family. Like you're in. It's
like essentially he is in rehab.
He is in rehab. Yeah. So he's been in rehab.
We don't know what he tested.
You know what? I do.
What were the previous?
Yeah.
We had that one running in the hotel, right?
Yeah. So this is the second time.
Oh, that was a shit show.
This is the second time he's disappeared in the playoffs. Obviously last year was the first time, and then he got checked into the program again throughout this regular season. So first time was last year in the playoffs against Seattle, where they lost, Colorado lost in the first round. And then he had another incident this year, I wouldn't say incident, just another. At the end of the day, he failed a test, so we can all probably put two and two together. The difference with this program is it's made public, right? For the most part, like they make it public, saying this player's checked into this program. Back in the day, it was worse because they actually said what you're going in for. So they've kind of cleaned up exactly going in.
Yeah, and didn't Brad Myers help?
Yeah, 100%
start that program.
Yeah,
he would only do it if they kept it anonymous, not the player, but obviously, but details, you know what they were going in for.
Yeah, now he has a lifetime ban from the National Hockey League. He hit over that mark that they have, so obviously we don't want that to happen with Nichushkin. But you know what? As a players' podcast, you know we're always thinking of him. I posted something on our podcast Instagram account that ties into our Facebook account too, and. Just thinking of these guys, you know, it's tough because, when they go in, they're in. So now I know that works for the 28 days. You're shut off from the outside world. Your phone is handed in and social media and family visits and all that. Now, I don't know. If you're in for 6 months, you know, are you getting some kind of visits from family members or whatnot? I don't know. I'm assuming if it's 28 days, it might be the same for 6 months, but I can maybe search and find that information.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't see it being for 6 months.
Yeah. Well, it says in the release from the NHL saying he is in there for 6 months. So now,
six-month suspension.
It's not even a suspension. It's just, maybe it is. I don't know. They didn't say suspension, right? So,
I just hope he figures his shit out.
Man. That's right. It. Yeah.
He
is a really good hockey player, and he's a difference maker when he gets on that ice, and Colorado misses him a lot. And our friend Rupper loves that guy too. He's a fan of him for sure. So, so hopefully things go good there. But yeah, Dallas is doing good in this series. They've held Nathan MacKinnon to two points 5-on-5. So far in this series, they've held them to 5 shots in this series too, up until this game started tonight. So, Dallas didn't pay a first round pick for Tanev. You know, I think the Rangers didn't pay a first round pick for anyone either. And I think there's another team in the playoffs too. Maybe it was Carolina that didn't pay a first round. No, sorry, Florida was the other team. So, Tanev looking pretty good. And on the back end for a Stars team that are really only playing five defensemen. Lundqvist is only playing like 3 minutes a night when he gets out there. So Hakanpov is not healthy right now. And our friend Alexander Petrovic is doing good in the minors, but I don't know if he'd play. He only played one game this year in the NHL, his first game in 5 years. But yeah, Stars looking good, guys. And when you're out shooting 20-4,
where they are a wagon. They are so good.
We're
young, like their goalie. How old's Ottinger? Like 24?
Yeah, he's probably around 24, 25. I can quickly look. As you talk about them closer, I'll check that up right now.
You got Stankoven.
Well, they remember Roberts, him in the World Juniors.
Incredibly. Yeah. Pardon me?
Remember him in the World Juniors.
Yeah, he's nuts, man. They're really, really good. And like, if Jamie Benn's on your third or fourth line, you're a pretty good hockey team. Like, you're.
And they got like this skinny Kyle Connor youth version Wyatt Johnson. Who fuck? Like, this guy's logging minutes against the Nate Dogg.
You just talked about him. He just scored. So
that's
2-0.
And that's the second of the game.
Ottinger is 25 years old. Vernon Fiddler sent me a text too. So we'll get to Fiddler's text because it actually is a good talking
point. Like,
so.
And they're White, deep. Like,
I didn't forget about him, but I just didn't mention him. He's a stud, and he's a young kid, and he's not even like pedigree wise. Was he a second, third rounder?
Wyatt Johnson, yeah, he was. Yeah. So second round pick. And just like a Draisaitl type goal right on the goal line on the power play. And just a nice
pass. He can't be more than 170 pounds.
No chance.
Yeah. Like, and just, oh,
and his development kind of got hindered by, you know, the Ontario Hockey League not playing that year during COVID.
Right.
So you got to add that to the equation of 19 years old, what this kid's doing and not having that year of development where, you know, you had Shane Wright who didn't do that. And Shane Wright is right now just American Hockey League player. He had somewhat good games when he got called up towards the end of the year, but this pick, Wyatt Johnson, and just
listen, take a look at all the guys we're talking about. A majority of them are Dallas Stars draft picks.
All yes, of them. 100%. Yeah.
Larry Nell and is it Nell?
Iskinen's
Jim Nell, yeah.
Jim Nell, sorry, yeah. Like, fuck. Yeah, they're good, dude.
He stole Detroit, all Detroit's guys, right?
They did. All the Detroit guys took the contracts offers, so they all went over there. So, and these guys grind. Like, they grind. So, and you could tell, you know, you got Esa Lindell, you got Miro Heiskanen on the back end.
Lindell's a good player too.
Oh yeah, just right? Good. And then obviously Jason Robinson and Wyatt Johnson.
And I could be wrong and speaking totally out of turn, but I'm pretty sure that the community that they've built down there with in the Dallas, like most of the players are saved by each other. Much like a Vegas-esque, mm-hmm. where they're around each other. The kids are growing up together. Families are always together. Like that pays dividends, especially 100%. when you're heading into the grind of the season, right? Wives can lean on each other. Kids, you know, whatever, anything. It's unbelievable. No, it's Colorado's in trouble. I thought they would come all guns a blazing today, but. I think the Nikushkin thing probably rattled the shit out of them.
Sometimes that is a good thing, not a good thing. Yeah, they rally around it.
And, I thought they would too, but
yeah,
they got the news that apparently. Well, they might have got the news before, but they got the news 90 minutes before the puck drop kind of came out, and then obviously Devon Taves is not in the lineup either. So that's a big loss.
It's a huge loss. He's one, in my opinion, he's one. I don't want to say he's underrated, but he in my world. He's not recognized for the stud that he is. Like, he's one of the, to me, he's a phenomenal defenseman. He's a number one defenseman. He's better than anything the Oilers have.
I agree with you.
And he's just kind of known as a second pairing or, you know, a 1B type of defenseman. Like, he's a stud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He is very, very fun to watch. And so Dallas theme here, obviously, we'll fit this in. Fids just sent me a text. With all these coaching interviews going on and names going on, and obviously, you know, Craig Berube got interviewed on Saturday with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Today, Todd McClellan got interviewed by Toronto. But Fiddler goes, why isn't Todd Nelson getting any attention? He's like, what's this? No, all this guy does is win. Fids is not wrong, you know. Where you
guys and for like a decade.
Yeah. Like, had a cup of coffee with the Oilers organization as a head coach, but, you know, all he does is win the American Hockey League. His name's never really brought up. You know, where are we at here with this? Like, where do you think, you know, the kind of, like, obviously you should be
talking. I think it's because he has a list, but nobody can take him seriously, and they're not doing it. That's not nice. I'm sorry. I take it back.
Where are you at with, you know, him as a head coach and what you've seen of his resume closer?
Well, you're right. All he does is win. And for, like I just mentioned, like a decade, right? He had no real chance here when he's with the Oilers. I mean, not good. Didn't matter who the Scotty Bowman was coaching. They weren't going to win anything. But all he has done is win. And I don't know. Is he part of the reason Sankoven's good? Did he ever coach him? Is Wyatt Johnson get a year under the belt to him or no?
He hasn't been their coach down there. No, they haven't. Yeah, no, like those guys didn't like. They've had a different coach down there for a couple of years now.
He's with Hershey.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah, he was there. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know that. I just think that it is funny though that he never gets any legitimate. You know, you never see top two, top threes in the mix of any jobs that are coming up. I find that odd.
Yeah.
I'd like to know why. I have zero idea why.
Yeah, I just put the text out to a few insiders, so maybe we'll get something back as we're talking about it or not. But we'll see. You know, to a few people in the game, I just kind of sent it out. But where are you at, Vandy? You're huge. You're coaching. You have appreciation.
I'll be honest. This caught me off guard. I totally forgot about him.
Yeah,
I totally forgot about him.
I heard his name a bit, like just in terms of it. Like this was like a couple weeks ago. Now
I assume Fitz played with him or played for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't
know. Our friend Matthew Phillips is with that Washington organization. So, you know, I could text him.
Well, so could it be that, you know, when you look at Jared Bednauer and what he did at the minor pro level, but could it be that like hockey players were some coaches just, maybe, or some GMs just don't see, they see him more as an AHL guy. Maybe he's more of a development guy as opposed to maybe he's where he
should be, I guess.
Should be, maybe. I don't know. Or perhaps he's more comfortable out in the development role in the AHL. I don't know. I mean, that's a question that.
Like, but Fitz isn't wrong. I hope he's not mad for me talking about it. Just like in the text, he sent it. Good timing, he sent it. I would say, but all he does is win. So that's all you would ask.
Yeah, he's got, you know, like five championships.
Yeah,
in the UHL, AHL, three times. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it could. It's one or the other. Is it
easier right now in the National Hockey League just because one head coach gets fired from one NHL organization? It's easier to interview that guy on another team. It's just, you're just going to recycle these NHL coaches that keep getting fired instead of having
the way it works, man. It's the NHL.
And it is, you're not wrong, right? But is it like, where does the change need to be? Now we're seeing a few, you know, NCAA coaches now getting some love and some opportunities in the NHL too. But you're still at the end of the day, like when Toronto's vacancy's up, it's all the same names we've heard before: Gerard Gallant, Jay Woodcroft, Todd McCullough, Craig Berube. You know, it's just a guy that got fired from over here is coming over here, right? Like, you know, Sheldon Keefe now is the front runner for the New Jersey Devils job now, right? And it's like, obviously last week that wasn't the case. And like the weird narrative was going, okay, he gets fired from Toronto, he's going to quickly go over to the Penguins, and then Sullivan's going to go over to the Devils, and then Berube's going to go over to the Leafs. So
I have a theory, guys, on NHL coaching.
Okay,
just the NHL. No, not U13, not junior, not this. Is that all of the coaches are awesome, and it doesn't matter who the coach is. To me, the Oilers would be just as good if friggin' Jacques Lemaire was the coach, or Jay Woodcroft is the coach, or this guy's the coach. They're all awesome. And whoever has the best players wins.
Now
that's my theory.
Yeah, your theory's not wrong. Like, I wonder if Todd Nelson has to come back to the NHL in an assistant coaching position or an associate coach position, kind of like Travis Green did. Travis Green, head coach, former head coach of the Canucks, took a couple years out, came back as an assistant slash associate coach, then interim coach with the Devils, and now got a 4-year contract with the Sens. Is that Nelson's way of getting back into the NHL circuit here, Dandy?
He really hasn't had a head coaching spot in the NHL, so you wonder. I mean, do GMs maybe not trust him, or I don't know what it could be. Is he just that good at the developmental level? I.e. the AHL, where they
you get slotted there for the rest of your career in a way.
You get typecast as that, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know.
That floored me. I totally forgot about him. Yeah. But you look at it and get into what Brody was saying is, I mean, when you've got names like Gallant, like McClellan, like Woodcroft, like Keefe, don't forget Joel Quenneville might be coming back into the mix too here soon.
He will in no time.
Right? Yeah. I mean, when you've got those four guys, five guys, six guys, I mean, Nelson kind of takes a back burner. And then as Todd, you know, if you're Todd Nelson, you find a spot where you're comfortable and, you know what, I'm happy here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, what happens with Joel Quenneville? It sounds like if he's coming back in the National Hockey League, it will be as an advisor and somewhat management role, just like he did when he left St. Louis to come back and work for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Is that going to be the Maple Leafs' next head coach, Bosco, or what?
It doesn't sound like he's been interviewed, just because Gary hasn't talked. He has to get reinstated by the National
Hockey League. Yeah, he's got to be reinstated. Right? That's what that Strickland interview said.
Yeah, I think
you could still have a meeting with him, still talk to him.
You can, right. Oh yeah, well
I think that would be a probably better play if you're a team, you know, go to the NHL and go, we want him and we support him and here's how we're going to make this work, and
he's not doing
smooth
that
it over.
Yeah, he's not doing that interview with Andy Strickland without Gary Bettman's blessing at the end of the day.
100%.
He's getting that interview, he's getting the okay by Gary to do that. So yeah, interesting to watch, I guess, for sure. We kind of touched on that there. But let's move over east real quick. Friend of the pod, Jordan Martinook, he was on with us just as one of our first very guests. And Dustin Canall set that interview up as their close friends. But big game tonight from him and his line. And Jordan Staal got kind of called out before the game, and he stepped up. A big 4-1 win. Freddie Anderson back in the net and gets another win. And you know, looking pretty good. The 3-2 Rangers are now facing adversity. Closer, where are you at with the Rangers here? And Shesterkin's kind of been lit up these last few games, where he had a long streak of not allowing four or more goals, and now he's let four or more in the last two games.
I think it's easy for the New York Rangers to take their foot off the gas. 4-0, right? The last series, and now they're like, easy. Let's get 3-0. We'll win the last one. So I think they just took their foot off the gas. They weren't quite as stern as they had been the first round in the first few games. So I have no doubt they're going to come back and win. That being said, Carolina is still a really good team. Really good team. So I hope it goes 7. That'd be awesome to watch the hockey. But I think now the Rangers will just step on it and put them out of their misery.
Vandy, your thoughts on all those
things? The same thing.
For Rod Brendamore, right, in Carolina.
It was tonight was a telltale sign. It was 1-0 heading into the third, and the Rangers flat out took their foot off the gas, and they allowed Carolina back into the game. And it started with Jordan Staal, who got called out before the game. I mean, I watched the majority of the game. He was a beast all game. He was in.
That goal was nice.
It was nice, and that's a big man's goal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be a series. I mean, at the end of the day, too, you're not going through, you're not winning the Stanley Cup 16-0. So it's like,
yeah,
the Rangers got to get some adversity. They'll be fine. They'll, you know, I'm sure this series will go 7. I think Carolina will take it back at home, and then it'll go to MSG for game 7 and we'll win it. But
well, that'd be awesome.
I would blip in the road, the road.
That'd be fun. Okay. Let's finish up with the Boston Bruins and Florida Panthers series. Very controversial hit slash punch or whatever you want to call it by Sam Bennett on Brad Marchand. And then obviously a controversial goal last night, pushing Charlie Coyle into the net, and the NHL allowing that goal to stand and kind of was a difference maker. But Barkov looked amazing again last night. The Panthers look good. I agree with some of the narrative out there. 90% of the series is just because Florida's better than them. Boston has been in the penalty box a lot. Their bottom six is not produced like it was kind of somewhat producing in the Toronto series and whatnot. But, you know, Close, your thoughts on the series, what you've seen so far, and how good are the Florida Panthers?
They are so good. I could see Dallas, Florida final. That's how good. They're a wagon too, right? They're big, strong, heavy. They play fast. They have that element of grit. And watching it again, I say this every single year when I start watching the playoffs. Man, that Barkov is special, right? You don't watch him all year. I rarely watch a Florida Panthers game, and then you see highlights. Yeah, it's pretty good. But when you watch him play, God, he's a good player. He's so good. And like Bennett's unbelievable. Tkachuk, obviously, you just go down the line. That team is loaded, and they're big, and they're fast, and they're strong. They're good. They're a wagon. I don't know how they're. I would suggest it'll be them and Dallas Stars final the way things are kind of looking here.
Yeah, Dallas just scored again. Miro Heiskanen makes it 3-0. Yeah, just a really good, fun team to watch for sure.
Really fun to watch.
Yeah, and that Gustav Forsling, he was a waiver claim. He was a waiver claim for the Panthers.
That's crazy, eh?
And he's turned into being a hella defenseman, only making in his next contract $5.7 million for a guy that's around 40 points.
Only 5.7.
Yeah, only 5.7, but
tax free in Florida.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Abby, your thoughts. I know you like this style of hockey, and I know you're a fan of
I could watch Florida play, you know, even Dallas too. They don't play a boring they play that big man game with little guys. You know, like Tkachuk's not big. Bennett, remember when everybody laughed, he couldn't even do a pull up, yeah, man. And I told my kids about that. And now he's an X factor in that series. He changes the way that team plays. And what he did, you know, sorry, Brad Marchand, we're a player's podcast, but you live by the sword. How many times has Marchand done that to somebody?
8,472, right? I think is the number.
Right? Whether it was legit punch or not, but there was a little bit of intent there. And then last night, the cross check, and then he nets the goal. He changed that series dramatically. I mean, Florida is, they're so good. Barkov, I mean, can you imagine being like 6'3" and just that strong and
just an
like his goalie scored is just like, I'm bigger and stronger than you. I'm going here. I'm going to score.
Yeah.
Like a Rantanen during when they won the
I was listening to Spit and Chicklets today, and Yandel was talking about him. Obviously, Yandel played with him in Florida when Yandel went to Florida. And looks like Casey Mittelstad makes it 3-1 for Colorado. So, just amazing, amazing, player. And obviously, Yandel talking very highly of him. Never taking a day off in the gym, just working out. Doesn't put any bad things in his body. Doesn't drink. Doesn't do any of that other stuff. He just a professional in every which way, a great captain and a great person and a great teammate. So, maybe he
wins. That's what it takes, man, at that level.
Maybe if they win the cup, he wins the Conn Smythe. Maybe people put some more respect on his name, right? So
maybe
that's what he might need. Because there has been that conversation. It's like, this guy's never going to win the MVP. He's never going to win a Ted Lindsay and stuff
in
the regular season. But maybe he needs to, have that playoff success that gets his name out there a little bit more, more or less for the media or the fans. I think these players in the National Hockey League know who's who and who's not in terms of that. But
and maybe if he doesn't win, he turns into – who's the guy who used to be there, ended up in Calgary? He was always the guy, like, God, you wanted more from him.
Jokinen, right?
Oh, Jokinen. Holy Jokinen. Yes. Yeah. Nobody should tell Barkov that, buddy. You better win. You're going to be Ole Jokin.
Yeah, you'll be the Ole Jokin of the being in Calgary or maybe Jokin. Vancouver, something like that. All right, we've been pretty long here, but just to get a quick rip, as quick as it possibly can, Vandy, and we'll throw to you closer to close out. But, the press conference in Toronto, no change can happen right now. Obviously, it has to you know, the Stanley Cup has to play itself out and whatnot. But, you know, Vandy, your thoughts on what you would have heard or not from that press conference from the manager?
It was, how do you word it? Trying to cover their tracks, if that, for lack of a better, you know, they know they got to make changes, but they don't want to flat out come out and say they want to make changes. Like, they know that, you know, certain guys aren't going to probably be there next year. But again, you just said they got to wait till the Stanley Cup. Well, don't forget the two guys that everybody's talking about that probably won't be back have got a no move clause. So, I mean, it's kind of a sticky situation Dubas left them in, but I mean, Tree Living he'll figure it out, and Shanahan, they'll all get together. But it was the same old, well, we tried our best, and shucks, we didn't. Yeah. You know, we ran into a tough Boston team, this, that, the other thing. And, I mean, if I'm a Leafs fan, I'm not buying it. Come on. I mean, we saw this through the Oilers, through, you know, our dark days as well. It's like we get, you know, leaving you wanting more, right? Yeah. It's like, come on, man. You got to figure shit out. And unfortunately, they're kind of handcuffed. But hopefully for – and I could give a fucking rat's ass if Toronto ever wins the Stanley Cup again. But for hockey in general, yes, the Leafs are – the league is better when the Leafs are in financially, but also from a fan standpoint is – they better do good on what they get for these players that everybody's talking about not coming back. So, I mean, we'll see. But to me, it was the same old. We've heard it here in Edmonton. I'm sure Calgary, you know, they get it too. It's like, it's the same old shit. We tried, but not quite good enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, any hockey fan that watches that team knows that they lack a lot more than what even they probably think.
Oh, yeah, like Austin Matthews, hell of a goal scorer in the regular season, but one goal in his last 10 playoff games, unacceptable, right? So,
but he was one of their best players, if not the best player for them in the playoffs. Yep. He just didn't have any support.
No. No, he did not. You know, I agree. I very well said by you. Closer, your thoughts?
I was actually surprised Shanahan still has a job today, because I feel like he was pounding the drum. Well, I don't feel like he was pounding the drum of their core four for X amount of years now, and he still survived that, right?
The one signing off on those big contracts and those no move clauses. Like,
yeah, and at his level, he'd also be in on the philosophy of that, right? He's not just...
And yes, I found it weird. Keith Pelly talking about Brendan Shanahan's player, like his resume as a player. Like, it's the mood.
Who cares?
I don't care about his resume as a player. It's what you've done in 10 years as a manager, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, go ahead, closer. Sorry.
Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. I was surprised he kept his job. And then you hear the rest. I don't know, man. It was a bunch of fluff, to be honest. It was pretty shitty, to be honest. It was like, oh, yeah, that was boring.
It was boring, that's for sure.
But they are hamstrung. They don't have a lot of options. Their only option is Marner, right? They're not trading Matthews. Nylander's the best. To me, Nylander was unbelievable.
Correct.
Even considering he was injured there for a bit. You're not trading. Nobody's taking Tavares. Your only option is Marner, and I don't know. I think you'd be a hell of a lot better off getting rid of that $11.5 million and bringing in a $6 and $5 million defenseman. Team would look a heck of a lot better. But then you hear people, you know, their problem always is in the playoffs is they don't score. I'm like, well, yeah, because their back end can't get them up the puck. What do you want them to do?
Yeah.
Right? They're not, I don't know. That's just, they're in a big world of hurt unless they can move Marner for something.
Yeah, they'll have a lot more money to play with in 12 months than 3 months from now, right? So,
what do you think, Bosco? How was this?
Well, they didn't go all in. They didn't trade their first round pick. They didn't trade Easton Cowan. They didn't trade Fraser Mitton. Like, those are like their top prospect players. Like, Easton Cowan had a great year, is having a great year for the London Knights, you know. So, Fraser Mitton's doing really good in the WHL. Like, these guys are their top high-end prospects. After that, yeah, it's very thin, and there's not many great prospects on their back end coming up right now. So, but they have a first-round pick this year. So, in my point is they didn't go all in because they didn't trade that first-round pick and they didn't trade those players. Now, Dubas didn't leave them a lot. They don't have second-round picks for the next couple of years, and some of it they don't even have third-round picks. So, you know, we just talked about the Dallas Stars draft and develop very well, but like this window of winning is like is now. It's now for Toronto. It's now for Edmonton because the Edmonton sitting in the same situation with not a lot of prospects. You know, now in waiting in the wing.
Name three Oilers prospects. I dare you.
Yeah, it's tough, right? Like, you know, it's not good. What is it? Xavier Bargeau had what 17 points in the American Hockey League this year? Like. He didn't play that good in the American Hockey League this year, and over I think he had over 60 games played. So,
can you name three? Name three that you're like, oh man, he'll be an Oiler.
I can't. Like Like
doesn't exist. Same with
Toronto.
Fine.
Like Toronto had like the Marlies. Like they go out and get these older veterans like the Kyle Cliffords, and they give them like $500,000, and you know like that's their prospect system. Like. There's not really a lot of guys there, and they hide players like crazy. It's like all of a sudden Matt Murray's healthy. His hip surgery's done. He's ready to play, and it's just like buried in the minors and then never heard from ever again, right? It's just like they have money to hide money. And I go to this thing too. It's like game seven, Boston-Toronto in the U.S., 3.2 million viewers. You know, like that's in the U.S. Like they generate a lot of revenue in terms of like watching their games. And I think in Canada, it was almost around 4 million. So, you know, and, you know, like I did some digging around, asked around, you know, like I think the highest rated Oilers playoff game to date up until now was 1.7 million viewers. Now I understand they're playing at a later time. So, and we're going to get that as the series is, but everything after this round, everything's a 6 o'clock start. Round three, 6 o'clock start. So that changes.
Thank God, because I'm so tired.
So it is. Hey, and if Florida ends this series early, these Oilers games and Canucks, if they go seven, these rest of the series, rest of the Canucks and Oilers series is going to start at 6 o'clock. If Florida knocks out Boston tomorrow night, you know, Oilers and Canucks won't be starting at 8 o'clock at night. They'll be starting at 6 o'clock at night local time for us. So, but yeah, it is. You know, it's tough in Toronto. You're tied. Darren Ferris is Marner's agent. He's not a good hard agent to deal with. He's not a Jerry Johansson. He's not an Alain Waugh. Anytime his players get to a situation where they have 1 year left of free agency and ratings on the wall, he just walks his player to free agency. Like he has no reason to say. Now the thing is, if the organization comes to you and they don't want you to be there, do you want to be there? You know,
like, no.
I wouldn't want to be there. Now, Torrey Krug, different player, but Torrey Krug stayed in St. Louis after they came to him and said, we have a trade for you for Travis Sanheim to go to Philadelphia. And he said no. So the organization didn't want him, but he negotiated in his contract that I have a full null move. So I agree with Jeff O'Neill. If I negotiated on my contract, don't come and talk to me about it. Unless I come to talk to you about it, then don't talk about it. But
you know, maybe that's something they add in next CBA.
Has to be something, right? So you know, some of these teams have 11 no move clauses on them in the National Hockey League. It's crazy, man. It is crazy. I remember John Ferguson Jr. was the GM in Toronto, like half the team, if not 75% of the team. Like Jeff Finger had a full no move clause. He was making $4 million. Like some people listen to this podcast might not even know who Jeff Finger is, you know, and he had a full no move clause in Toronto. He was making $4 million a year. Like it was just
awesome.
Tonight. It was crazy. And it's this funny clip on Overdrive. They do a confirm or deny, and it's a full segment on John Ferguson Jr. Because like, I can't confirm or deny that. Like he just like it's just it's hilarious. But and obviously Jeff O'Neill didn't have the greatest time with him in Toronto as a GM. But anyways, it's nothing will change until you show me. I could easily see game one. Opening night, all those guys being there because the organization knows they'll sell jerseys, they'll sell that arena out, and they'll go there. I could easily see that happening, you know? So now how are you going to answer the question if you sign Mitch Marner to a $13 million contract? Like there's no which way he can negotiate saying he wants the same as Austin Matthews. He can't. If anything, his contract, he has to be at least a $9 million player.
Buddy, he's getting a raise.
But he's getting a raise for sure, and we know that. And if it's not from Toronto, it's going to be from some other organization. And you know, really? What, at that, he'll get a raise for sure, Vandy. Like either he's get like if he leaves Toronto, he's leaving Toronto on a sign and trade. So like the one thing I saw online, and it was Shane O'Brien
talked about. Fuck in the right mind would do that.
Shane O'Brien talked about trade him to Chicago.
Dubois did. Somebody just did to Dubois. Yeah, he's you're right. A tenth of this player.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But Dubois had sample size of dominating in the playoffs, not like Mitch Marner, right? Like
Mitch Marner's going to go to Utah.
Yeah, he could. They need.
And how about this for a Utah name? The Utah Phoenix.
The Utah Phoenix, eh? So
fucking brutal.
I like the Yetis.
Coming out of left field.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be insane. I would do it just to spite.
Yeah, well, we could do another full hour on the Leafs dissecting them, and we don't want to do that. I don't think our fans want to listen to that painful.
No, people tune out, Bosco.
They do. Actually, the episode did pretty good on the numbers.
I'm just kidding, buddy.
But anyways, let's finish up on that. You know, this more important stuff has happened here, and that's playoff hockey. The teams that can make it past the first round, they deserve more love.
So, zing.
But hey, it's just the truth, right? So, hey, Sheldon Keith might be a pretty good head coach. I believe he will be. He did a good job getting that team defend, but his star players couldn't perform when they wanted. I thought it was a very classy video that he did on Twitter. I thought it was very classy, and you hear a lot of good things about him kind of away from the game. But hey, that's hockey, and you hear a lot of good things about a lot of people too. So that's why our game is the greatest in the world, in my opinion. So, and I guess kind of funny. I guess we can end on a good laugh. Our friend behind the Dallas bench, she's gaining traction now. So we'll see how that goes. That might be
Matt G.
Yeah, so it might be a future guest on our podcast. We're in talks.
Get to work, man.
Yeah, I've been working it. It's getting there. We're getting there. I'm not pushing it too hard, but she's enjoying it. She actually laughed the other day because I tagged Biz and her in the same thing, and she goes, "Do you know Biz?" And I said, "Yeah." So, and then I text Biz and I was like, "Hey, this chick's asking about you." So he's got all excited. So I think it was on Friday. He was on Pat Mathis's show, and he called her Tits McGee. So he's
yeah, that's what he calls her all the time.
Tits McGee and Glassbanger is at that same rink.
I love when he gets on TNT and he tries to talk about her, and Liam McHugh always shuts him down.
Yeah,
he goes, "That is same for a TNT After Dark, and we're right. Not there yet." So. Anyways, you would think that she would join one of those podcasts before ours, but we'll see. We're gaining some traction, and you're right, Brody, that lady behind that Oilers bench last night was can probably give her a run for her money. Two Canadian girls.
Get them both on
the same time for sure. All right, let's finish up on that. Everyone, you know, enjoy the rest of the week. This Canucks series is going 7, in my opinion. So big game 5 for the Oilers here, or game 4 for the Oilers. So we'll be tuned in to see it. You guys take care. Vandy, you have anything to say before we sign out?
No, go Oil.
There you go. Brody?
6-1 Oil.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Take care, guys.
If it's done right the first time, you don't have to redo it. If you get Pete's Concrete to pour your driveway, you don't need a repeat. When your patio is a PDO, you don't need a repeat. When Pete's Concrete fixes your sidewalk, all it takes is once. You don't need a repeat. And if your basement leaks, a Pete's Repair helps avoid a repeat. Get it done right the first time with the colors and textures you want so you don't have to redo it. For concrete, you can choose Pete's or repeats. Pete's Concrete.